Very rarely you can't hear me. Our reading this morning is from Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 13. Let's enjoy it together. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of your fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you very much, Wendy. Jesus was praying. That's where our story started. He was in a certain place and he was praying. And his disciples, watching him, asked him if he would teach them how to pray. I wonder why. I wonder why they wanted to be taught, because they would have known how to pray already. There was a great tradition of prayer in their nation, in their culture. People would pray regularly and they had set prayers that they said. So I think there must have been something different about the way that Jesus prayed that made them want to know more. He was their teacher, but I think that there was probably something in his life that made them think, he really knows who he's talking to. I wonder if there's a secret. The first word in the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples was Abba. Abba. Can you say Abba? Now, can you imagine that you're a baby and you're trying to say Abba? Abba. Abba. It's easy, isn't it? Babies make those kind of noises when they start talking. They go, blah, 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 blah. And it gradually it turns into words. I was very offended when our youngest was born, because when he started talking, he just said, "Daddy." And "Daddy" could either mean daddy, or it could mean David, or it could mean Teddy. So his first word was "Daddy," and it covered all sorts of things. When people call somebody Abba in Jesus' time, it could be two things. It could be that it was their first word that they used for their daddy, Abba. It was a term of real love, Abba, daddy. Or when they were older, some people used it as a term of respect for a great teacher or somebody who they thought was very important, sort of father, Abba. So there are two reasons why they'd use that word, for somebody they loved or for somebody who is important. And at the beginning of the Lord's Prayer, it fits both those reasons, because we're praying to somebody we love and we're praying to somebody who's important. And the other thing that was a bit surprising about this when Jesus taught his disciples was that he used their everyday language. It's an Aramaic word. It's the language that the children would have learned from the very beginning. In Judaism, they had to use classical Hebrew when they prayed in the synagogue together, when they came together, they would use a special language. In Islam today, they use 7th century Arabic. There is a special language, a different language that people use to pray to God. And in some ways, that's great because it shows how special God is, and perhaps we lose that sometimes. But in other ways, it's sad because Jesus said you can talk to God as your daddy. You can talk to him using your normal language. You don't have to learn something special in order to be able to talk to God. You can talk to him right here, right now, and he will understand you. So, our Father in heaven. God is a very special type of Father. He's that close because we can call him daddy, but he's also in heaven. He can see everything. He can see everything that's happening in the world now. He can see everything in the universe. Things that we would have to wait years and years and years to see using telescopes. God can see all of that right now because he's in heaven and he's great. He can see the past and he can see the future. Really, it's pretty mind-blowing. When we talk to God in our prayers, we're talking to that person who can see everything that has ever been and that ever will be. And so when we come with our concerns, he knows what we're asking about. He knows the people that we pray for. He knows what would be good for them. And he knows how he's going to act. That's quite mind-blowing too. Coming back to our prayer, the Lord's Prayer is what Jesus told them, and it's called the Lord's Prayer because he taught them it here, and he's the Lord. It's got 6 phrases in it, 6 requests. The first one, in this version, they're a bit shortened, but the first one is asking God to make his name holy. Hallowed be your name, we say. Not, as some people think, Harold be your name, but hallowed, making holy the name of God. And that's a slightly odd request because his name is already holy. But in our lives, we want to see God being made holy. Then it says, your kingdom come. Coming of the kingdom of God, seeing God breaking through into our lives, into our everyday lives, into our world. That happened, it started when Jesus was here, and it continues day by day as we pray, as we bring situations to God, as we seek to do his will, we see his kingdom seeping into our world and growing. Your will be done, we say. Your will be done, and that's very easy to say and quite difficult sometimes to live with, especially if our will, the things we want to happen, may not be the same as the things God wants to happen. So I said there are 6 phrases. Those first 3 are about God. May your name be holy. May your kingdom come. May your will be done. And the second 3 are about us. We say, give us this day our daily bread. Please, God, give us everything that we need to live. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. When we've made a mess of things, we know that when we come to God and we say sorry, he wipes them away. He wipes our slate clean and says, okay, I'm going to help you not to do that again. But we're not always so great at doing that for other people. When they come and say sorry to us, we might go, well, you might think you're sorry, but I need to see it before I'll believe it. Or we might not want to hear that they're sorry because we might enjoy being grumpy. Nobody would believe that I enjoy being grumpy, would they? But occasionally I quite enjoy being grumpy. I don't want to just let go of something and say, okay, never mind, let's put it behind us. So we've got give us our daily bread, forgive us our sins, and may there be forgiveness in our community is the wider part of that. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Keep us safe. All those things that people are scared of. Some of the things that people are celebrating at Halloween are things that we don't want anything to do with. We want to be free from the things that scare us, knowing that we're in God's hands. Lead us not into temptation. So those are the three things for ourselves. Three things about God, three things about ourselves. And there are six things we can say, but each of those six things is more than just a set of words. It's an instruction that will help us with our lives. God makes his name holy, and we're expected to respect him, not to use God's name in a way that's not right, not to swear, not to take lightly God's name. We're expected to lead holy lives. Your kingdom come. Well, God's the one who brings in his kingdom, but we're the ones who can work for that. There's something for us thinking about the decisions we make in our lives. Are we making our world a better place? A place that pleases God by the choices we make. And your will be done. We have to discover sometimes what God's will is and then to choose to obey it and live it out. Give us this day our daily bread. That's not so that we can sit at home and do nothing. When God made man, we had the whole series, didn't we, a little while ago, about our identity. And part of our identity is to be people who work for our world, who work to earn our livings if we can, to make the world a better place, to care for the people around us. Some people work by praying. There is something for each person to do, and then our daily bread that we need. I've already said the bit about forgiveness. We asked for God's forgiveness. The responsibility for us is that we must try to forgive, even when it's hard. And if we want God not to bring us into places where we're tempted or to let us face evil, then we have to choose to turn our back on things that aren't helpful, to live lives of righteousness. So that's the Lord's Prayer. And then he gives this little story about the man who goes at midnight to his friend's house and hammers on the door. How many of you have woken up in the night really hungry? Oh, okay. Not that many of us. Some of us wake up in the night hungry. This wasn't somebody who woke up in the night hungry and thought, I'm going to go and nag my neighbor for some food. This was somebody who had a friend who came to him, who arrived very late, and who was hungry because of his journey and who needed to be fed, didn't just fancy a midnight feast. And that's why the man goes and hammers on his friend's door next door and says, please give us something I can bring my friend to eat. The request is not a selfish request. There's a need which must be met. And this is a parable that's, it's got sort of an odd little title. It's an if this, then how much more parable. If you can go and ask a friend and they'll come and answer the door because they're fed up of being disturbed, how much more will God, who loves you, come and speak to you when you have a request? It's not saying that God's like a grumpy old man in bed at midnight. It's saying that if even a grumpy old man in bed at midnight will get up, then God, who loves you, would be leaping out of his bed and down those stairs straight away. The point in the story for us is that the man knocking on the door kept going. He kept asking because it was important. And there are things that we need to keep asking God, not just to give up and think, oh, well, he hasn't heard me because he's asleep. He's not asleep, but sometimes we need to keep on asking, being persistent. And then Jesus told them that they could ask for whatever they needed. He said, ask and it will be given to you. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Seek and you will find. It's not a case of sitting back waiting for God to give us the things we need. We have to be proactive. When my now big boys were little, I used to get really wound up that they would turn up when I rang the bell for dinner. We have a bell on our wall because I got fed up of shouting. So I would ring this bell and they'd come downstairs and they'd come and they would sit at the table. And if there were papers and books and stuff on the table and nothing had been done to get it ready, they'd still just come and sit. And I would be so cross because I wanted them to take part, to help, to be there, to do their bit. And that's something they had to learn. I'm not sure how well they've learned it, but that's another story. And when it was time for a birthday or Christmas, I'd say to them, do you know what you'd like? Would you like a present? Is there something you'd like? And they would always be really, really quick at that point to come up with an answer. And sometimes it was a really good request and something that I knew they'd enjoy and that didn't cost £500,000. And sometimes it was a really bad request. It was something they'd love to have, but it wasn't really going to be very good for them or very helpful, and I probably couldn't afford it anyway. But I didn't mind them asking, because every time they asked me a question like that, we could talk about why that might be a good idea or a bad idea. And gradually, they began to ask for sensible things, to the extent that my oldest son last week said, well, the thing I'd like to ask you for costs too much. And I thought, oh, we've made progress. So it's okay to ask our Father for what we want. He won't always say yes, because it's not always the best thing for us. And I think that takes us to this last bit about the father who wouldn't give his son a snake if he asked for a fish, who wouldn't give him a scorpion if he asked for an egg. There are times when we pray for something and it doesn't happen, or we don't get the result that we were hoping for. And I think that's because God is a good father. And as I said, he has that whole view of our world and of eternity, and he knows what is good for us. We don't always understand that, but God doesn't ever give a duff gift when we ask him for something. God doesn't ever give us that sort of gift that we open and think, well, that'll be in the charity shop next week. Because God knows exactly what's best for us and for those we love within this bigger picture. We don't always understand, particularly when there's suffering involved, but we must hang on to the fact of God's goodness and his love for us. Because in that prayer, we didn't say, my kingdom come, my will be done. We said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, your kingdom, your will. So going back to those six things Jesus told us to pray, may your name be holy, your kingdom come, your will be done. Meet our needs, our daily bread. Forgive us our sins and keep us away from evil. I wonder when we pray whether we're really asking God for those things every time we pray, or whether we're just telling God what we think he should do. Let's just be still for a moment and pray. Abba, Daddy, Father, thank you that we can come to you and talk to you in our own language. That even as babies, as tiny children, we can call out to you and you hear us and you love us. Please teach us to pray. Help us not just to pray through other people's words, but to learn how to talk to you day by day. Amen.